Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am extremely excited to be joined today by the one and only Warren Sharp. You can find him on social media at Sharp Football. His 2025 football preview, the fastest way to get smart for the 2025 football season, just came out. It is 586 pages of absolutely insane and incredible NFL analysis. You can purchase it right now, sharpfootballanalysis.com, $29.99 for the early bird special. And trust me when I say you're going to want to get in on that. It is the Bible when it comes to all things football ahead of the season, and certainly will help you with fantasy football as well. Warren, I welcome you and thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Yes, certainly. The Green Bay Packers, an exciting team to talk about. Definitely happy to have researched them thoroughly, writing this guide. And I do want to share that, yes, the price is $29.99 when you do go to the website. But for your audience, if you enter the code Packers, if you go to sharp.football, enter the code Packers, you'll get the book for just a dollar. This is what the printed copy looks like, which you can find on Amazon. That's what 586 printed pages looks like. But if you want the PDF, it's not $30 up on my website. It's $1 for your listeners. So hopefully everybody can get in on that and check out some great information. But, it's a lot of work writing this. It's definitely a labor of love. But at the same time, I learned so much about all these teams, about all these coaches, some of the things I did not know leaving last season, some of the things that are surprising to me, some of the things that I really want to call attention to for most other football fans out there who may not have been paying as close attention to certain elements. And one of those does relate to Jordan Love for your Green Bay Packers. So I'm really excited to spend the next 30 minutes or so breaking down the team for you.
Well, I think it's a really interesting team to discuss in general. Obviously, we're a little bit biased here from a Packers standpoint, but they are this interesting team that is young. They've shown some upside already going back to that Dallas playoff game a couple of years ago, a little bit of a disappointment at the end of last year, but a lot of young and exciting talent. And you brought up Jordan Love. So let's kind of get into that conversation right away. And by the way, I didn't even know about the dollar thing, which is absolutely amazing. So again, definitely check that out. The quarterback tiers, I know you put out recently. Jordan Love is on the B tier. There are 11 quarterbacks that are on top of them. I don't really even know how much I care about tiers at this moment, but there's a lot of information that you've dug into when it comes to Jordan Love. So what does it kind of come to when you look at Jordan Love as a quarterback for 2025?
Well, I think part of that, those tiers, just so that we get the right context, we're talking about how much those quarterbacks are going to produce for their teams this year. And so some of that does relate to how many times are they going to be throwing the ball. And, Matt LaFleur obviously went a lot more run heavy last season than he has in years past. The question mark becomes, are they going to revert back a little bit more to the pass happy nature that they could introduce, given that Jordan Love is healthy? And that's the main thing that I want to discuss with most people out there, and I'm going to happily retweet this show when we're done so that more people can pay attention to this. But the thing that bothers me about the narrative about Jordan Love is people just assume that he's sort of out there in that range outside of the top 10 of quarterbacks and somewhere floating around thereafter. And they think that last year wasn't a very solid year from him. And they'll be surprised to read that he was a top five quarterback in both EPA and yards per attempt on early downs last season. And last season was actually a season from hell for Jordan Love personally because of the injuries that he was dealing with. People do not realize that in week one, he gets injured. He's supposed to miss 3 to 6 weeks with what he termed the most painful injury that he's ever experienced. He comes back to practice after 12 days and ends up playing through that injury until week 7, where he injures his groin and he doesn't miss any time. He plays through that injury through to the bye week. He was on the injury report for 8 of the Packers' first 9 games last season or missed time. In the 9 games that he did play for the Green Bay Packers last year, he had plus 0.24 EPA per attempt, 8.4 yards per attempt, and 51% success rate. Where those numbers stack up league-wide in the games that he was actually healthy, the 9 weeks that he was actually healthy, the third best quarterback in the NFL last year, the third best quarterback and the fourth best respectively in EPA success and yards per attempt. And like I mentioned, even despite the fact that he had those injuries, even if you include the games that he was playing through that pain, he still on early downs was phenomenal. And we haven't even talked about the drops. This includes all the drops and all the receiver error that we're going to get to as well. So I just think that people need to realize something about Jordan Love, and that is that he fought through injury for a lot of the statistical portion of his 2024 NFL season. And the hope is, fingers crossed, that he's not going to have to do that in 2025. And as a result, I expect more impactful efficiency from his performances to help the Green Bay Packers offense throughout the course of the 2025 season.
We certainly love hearing that. And I know one of the things that we focused on quite a bit is it's not just the injury, playing through the pain, not being 100%, but a lot of missed practice time out there with his wide receivers as well. Just getting on the same page, some of that rhythm looked off from time to time. It's funny because Jordan's a pretty laid back, casual guy. Doesn't really rise to the occasion on anything from a, like if somebody says something weird. The one time where he kind of fought back on something was when he was asked about maybe not having as good of a season in 2024 as he did in 2023. That was the first time he's like, yeah, I don't know what you like. He took umbrage with that. I'll just put it that way. Nothing aggressive, but definitely took umbrage. And, you know, based on everything you're saying, I think he had good reason why.
Yeah. And I think the rest of the, I mean, if Packers reporters potentially are thinking along those lines, I bet there are some Packers fans that aren't as schooled on his injury track record that he was dealing with last season. And then, you know, certainly people outside the NFL aren't, you know, when you go back and look at the stats, all you do is look at the quarterbacks and you just look at their stats. You don't take into consideration the context of when he's missing practice time, what weeks he's on the injury report as being injured. And that's what I did when I was writing the chapter and looking at his performance and trying to rank him in the pantheon of quarterbacks. And that's the other thing about Jordan Love that I did take a little bit of time to read about the book, as we're mentioning, you know, where he ranks and stacks up in the NFL. I went through, because Jordan Love obviously has a lot of years on his, you know, mileage on his NFL tenure, but he hasn't actually played that much, right? Because of the situations that he, when he was getting his starts. I went back and I examined quarterbacks in his shoes. And I also then went and dove into quarterbacks making their starts, I want to say 19 to 33, which is in 2024, he was making his starts 19 to 33. So if you consider that, like most quarterbacks in the NFL, some of these guys that come in, they start their rookie year. That's their first, nowadays, their first 17 starts. So their 18th start would be their very first game of their second season, and their 19th start would be immediately after that. Jordan Love, last year, his 19th start was week one of last season. So I don't think people realize just how little he's actually started games. Quarterbacks 19 through 33, those starts in the NFL, I looked at all the stats since 2000, ranking all the quarterbacks. And Jordan Love on early downs, which is when I think quarterbacks are, you know, third downs, there's a lot of variance that gets into that. But early downs, he ranked out of 86 qualifying quarterbacks since 2000, seventh in yards per attempt, eighth in EPA per dropback, and 11th in success rate. And his 8.6 yards per attempt, which ranks seventh, was behind only Kurt Warner, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Matt Schaub was in there, and so was Brock Purdy. But there weren't that many players that had better performance than he did at this stage in their career, even though we think about Jordan Love from the outside. I don't even remember when he was drafted. He's been on the Packers for so long. He really hasn't started that many games for this team. So I think the sky's the limit for him. Like the numbers he was producing last year, when healthy, 3 to 4 in the NFL. Even if you include when he was unhealthy on early downs, when he was at his best, he was, you know, top 10. I think the sky's the limit for him. And it's part of the reason why I actually hope that the Green Bay Packers do go a little bit more pass heavy in 2025, because I think Jordan Love can take that on his shoulders. I think he's built for that. I think you're going to get more efficiency out of those pass plays, because that's when Jordan Love has thrived in his career. I hope that LaFleur leans a little bit more into the pass on early downs this year.
I'm right there with you on literally all of it. Now, you mentioned the season from hell for Jordan. It had a lot to do with the injuries, but his wide receivers didn't do him a ton of favors either. As you wrote in the book, percentage of third down incompletions, which were due to wide receiver error, Jordan Love is at 32.7%, highest in the NFL. He was the highest rate of incompletions due to wide receiver error. Packers were first in the NFL in general at 23%. And Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks were the top two wide receivers out of, I think it was 109, correct me if I'm wrong on that, in the entire NFL as well. So there was a lot of issues with the wide receivers last year, which again, did Jordan no favors.
No, and like you said, on third and fourth down, where we're talking about, you know, Jordan Love on early downs was better. Yeah, that's because in part on third and fourth down, 33% of his incompletions were due to receiver error. Think about that. Like one out of every three passes that you are throwing, the wide receiver is dropping it or not getting 2 feet down when he should have, or catching it but falling to the ground and it comes out. You know, all of those things are factored in and graded as wide receiver error. And to clear the air, because some people ask this when I've posted this on Twitter before, or X, whatever, it's we aren't looking at miscommunications or things like that. That's not factored into wide receiver error. We're not sure if the guy ran the wrong route or whatnot. That maybe he did and there was more wide receiver error, but we're not factoring that in. We're only factoring in things like drops, could have gotten 2 feet down but didn't, drop the ball as he was falling to the ground, even though after he secured it, and a smaller other areas than that. So Jordan Love saw no favors from his wide receivers last year. And I think that regresses a little bit. I think that improves this year. Like you said, it was actually 103. Jaden Reed was 103 out of 103, and Dontavian Wicks was 102 out of 103. That's ridiculous. That's going to improve as well. So because 2 years ago, they weren't this poor. Right. And so last year, it was just a more of an anomaly, year from hell, so to speak. Maybe it was from those lack of practice time, right? In the reps and catching the ball from Jordan and the comfort level that they were otherwise receiving during practice when Jordan was there in 2023. Now in 2024, he's not there. That communication and that timing and that rhythm and where the ball is going to be placed just isn't as practiced and routine for them. So I expect it to improve this year. And I think that's going to go a long way for the Green Bay Packers, because I definitely think that that impacted them a ton. I think I have in the book here a stat on the amount of EPA that was lost on third and fourth downs. Jordan Love lost 28.2 EPA due to receiver errors. That was the most EPA lost for any quarterback since 2000. We're talking about 5 years ago. That was the last time that a quarterback lost that much EPA on third and fourth down. You think about the margin for error, what wins and loses games. One third down drop could change everything, and he saw the most since any quarterback since 2000. So I think that definitely regresses this year, and you're going to be in much better situations heading into the season.
We'll be right back. Hey friends, it's officially the All-Star break, which means it's time to get ready for an epic second half of the baseball season on Prize Picks. And as always, Prize Picks is going all out just like they do during football season and have the best promos, prizes, and selections. And there's never been a better time to get in on all the action and to start winning real money. Now, right now, you can sign up on Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is absolutely guaranteed. So if you think Milwaukee's going to stay hot after the All-Star break, if you think Andrew Vaughn's going to continue to impress, then it's time to cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money this baseball season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Now, I know I'm going to come out firing in the second half with some big-time selections on Shohei Ohtani, Jazz Chisholm, Christian Yelich, and All-Star snub Christopher Sanchez. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game. Like you said, in 2023, Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed had nowhere near that level of error that they had a season ago. Definitely took a harsh drop, no pun intended, this past year in their overall efficiency. Hopefully they can get back to where they were in 2023, thankfully, as well. Jaden Reed recently posted a video of him with a jugs machine at his house with his helmet on, working on those hands. So hopefully that comes in handy.
Was that? Well. I got a quick question for you, Andy. Was that like in response to people commenting on his drops? Or
I don't
that
think
was just
so.
He was.
Okay. Yeah, I think he was just working, putting the time in. I think it was on Instagram, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he had the helmet on, jugs machine in his garage, catching it outside. And yeah, I think anything that those guys can do to just improve a little bit. And hopefully, again, that practice time will help as well. The other piece that I wanted to talk about here, which is an interesting one, and it relates to Jordan Love as well, is the Packers offensive line. They only allowed 22 sacks this past year, which was second best in the NFL. My question for you, was this the offensive line performing at a high level, or was this also Jordan Love? And I know this is maybe a tape study question as well. A lot of people have been saying Jordan Love is one of the best at actually avoiding sacks as well. I'm curious where you kind of come down on the Packers offensive line in totality and where they kind of, I don't know if I even want to say rank, but just your overall thoughts on their structure of the offensive line.
Well, we do have them ranked. We rank all units in the book for all 32 teams. So if you check out the book, you'll see the rankings there. We rank the Packers offensive line 10th. So top 10, but the last one there. And Jordan Love does obviously exhibit this uncanny knack to avoid some of those pressures and prevent pressure. There's like a stat pressure to sack ratio. How often are you sacked on quarterback pressures? And he obviously does a great job of trying to avoid that. Now, the Green Bay Packers offensive line also, you know, with the way that they were passing the football, they do a good job of just protecting him, not allowing pressure to get to him. And quarterbacks obviously also control a lot of the pressure. How quickly are they throwing it? Are they able to understand where the breakdowns in protection might be pre-snap? No, okay, there could be pressure coming from here. This is going to be a tough matchup for this particular player based on how the defense is showing before the snap. And so therefore, I need to shift over here and get rid of the ball a little bit quicker than I otherwise would. I might not be able to let this route concept develop because I need to push the ball out to that side of the field a little bit sooner. So there's things that the quarterbacks can control both in pre-snap adjustments that they make at the line of scrimmage to identify things, call them out, as well as just their understanding of the play calls and the likely defensive matchups that they're going to get on those various play calls from their study of that opponent and their expectations of that particular snap. So Jordan Love has done a better job, and I do think they go hand in hand. There's so much of football that is so hand in hand. Like, running back performance is so dependent upon that offensive line. Quarterback play is so dependent on the plays that are called and the times that they're called, which is dependent upon the play caller. Like, so many things are very difficult to just strip away, and you can't just, too many people I think evaluate offensive lines by, you know, how many sacks are they allowing or what's the sack rate that they're allowing. And there's a lot more to evaluating offensive line play than something like that, because quarterbacks do impact that a ton.
Yeah, I know another site had him around 14th. I think 10th feels a little bit better. And I think it feels right about right. I don't think 14th was anything egregious, but 10th feels right where they are. And I'm interested to see what Aaron Banks, Anthony Belton, obviously Jordan Morgan, maybe getting some playing time this year, what those guys can bring to this room as well. Now, you guys had the Packers forecasted at 9.5 wins, second overall in the NFC North. Some reasons for pessimism included fourth down conversion rate from this past year, their benefit of injury luck along the offensive line in 2024, and maybe the less likelihood that that actually happens again in 2025. And then, of course, what we talked about already, all the drop passes on offense. Reason for optimism included the 8th best sack rate, despite a 29th highest blitz rate in the NFL, coaching malleability and flexibility, and the improved defense led by Xavier McKinney. What kind of also went into that sauce of getting Green Bay to a right around 9.5 wins and second place in the NFC North?
So I think second place is definitely fair for the Packers. When you look at this division, obviously the Detroit Lions are kind of the cream of the crop, which is something you wouldn't have said several years ago, but right now that's the case. The thing about the Detroit Lions is all the upheaval on the coaching staff, I think is definitely going to play into your favor a little bit. It's not going to hurt anything at all, the fact that they are experiencing those issues. Then you've got the Chicago Bears, who obviously are on the come up, and Ben Johnson and company did a real quick rebuild job along that offensive line with the entire effort of trying to make things easier for their quarterback, Caleb Williams, to actually see what do we got here with this young quarterback, because what you have seen before isn't anything that should have been allowed to happen to a quarterback like that. I'm sure you guys as Packers fans probably didn't care that it was just a circus in Chicago, but that was really poor coaching and really poor general managing in terms of what they were giving Caleb Williams to work with. And so we didn't see really, I mean, it's easy to point the finger at Caleb, and there were times I myself was like, what is he doing here? But the fact of the matter is all the people that were so harshly critical of Caleb Williams, a player, aren't really factoring in enough the situation that he was being put in by the staff and by the ownership and the general manager for the players that they were surrounding with, and especially the protection up front. That's going to change massively, which should raise the Chicago Bears ceiling a ton. And you got the Minnesota Vikings obviously stepping down. There's no way they're going to win as many games as they did last year, nor will the Detroit Lions. So it sort of gives you guys that opportunity to sneak up a little bit into that that discussion as to, like, theoretically winning this division. I don't think it's like a clear cut that the Lions are definitely running away with this division this year. I think you guys have a perfectly believable shot to take the division, but I do think that there are things that need to happen from both an execution perspective, obviously the drops and cleaning those things up, but also and fourth downs, but also when are we going for it on fourth down? How aggressive are we going to be on fourth down? What types of plays are we going to call when we're on fourth down? Because it's one thing to say, yeah, the players need to execute better. Okay, fine. The coaches need to call better plays, and the coaches need to get a little bit more aggressive on those fourth downs. I also wrote in, and we could discuss that if you want to.
Sure.
I also want to hit on, some of the things that I want Matt LaFleur to do differently when they run the football, with some reducing some of that pre-snap motion, which was hurting the team. But when I look at, if we want to hit the fourth downs real quick, when I look at what Green Bay was doing, and the problem is they're playing in this division with Ben Johnson, who's probably going to bring some of that aggressiveness from Detroit to Chicago. And you're obviously playing with the Detroit Lions and that really aggressive offense that they have in terms of just staying on the field. And remember watching, I think it was against, it was either against you guys or the Minnesota Vikings.
It was us.
It was you. The quarterback show on Netflix, yep, where Dan Campbell basically came out and said, we're just going for it every single day. We are not giving the ball back to this team. It's on you this week, Jared Goff. And like, they approach some games like that, which is fun to see as an offense and all that confidence. But the Lions ranked number one in terms of going for it when they should. And even last year on this on fourth down, and even last year, the Chicago Bears ranked number five in terms of going for it when they should. The Minnesota Vikings are about league average. You guys were 29th. Going for it when you should. You ranked 27th in just pure go for it rate last year overall. And I mean, part of the issue is maybe Matt LaFleur is a little gun shy, because on fourth and ones, they've been the third worst team in the NFL over the last 3 years. They've gone for it 31 times on fourth and one and converted just 55% of them. Think about that. Barely more than a coin flip. You need to gain 1 yard. Call your best offense, and you can't do that more than a coin flip. That's pretty pathetic, in my opinion. And there's enough of a sample size there to tell you that this is not just execution in the players. This is the play calling philosophy. And the issue to me on, so A, you got to go for it more. You're playing in this division where you got some very aggressive teams, number one and number five last year. And I bet the Chicago Bears are right there again, top five this year with Ben Johnson now coaching them. They're going to be aggressive. If you play to lose and these teams are playing to win, guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose more games than you win in close situations. And I think last year you were 5-5 in one score games. You got to turn more of those close games into wins. And you can easily do that by being more aggressive and going for it when it's fourth and short. In addition, it's what plays are you actually calling? Now, I understand Jordan Love was banged up last year, and so there's some aspect of, we don't want a quarterback sneak it with our quarterback who's already injured. Understood. Fine. Let's set that aside, though. Over those 31 play calls, over the last 3 years now, 14, almost half of them have been passes, like drop back passes that you have thrown. Those are converting just 50% of the time. Your next most frequent call play on a fourth and one is a run play. 8 of those 31 have been run plays. Those are converting just 37.5% of the time. Meanwhile, your quarterback sneaks, when you have used them, are converting 80% of the time. Quarterback sneaks around the NFL are the most efficient play call to make on short yardage. Obviously, the tush push is right up there. It's a type and form of quarterback sneak. Obviously, is easier for certain teams to do that because of the personnel that they have. But just standard quarterback sneaks, even if you strip away like the Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles who tush push it a lot, just standard quarterback sneaks are converting up in that 80% range league-wide. So the fact that most of your plays are 50% conversion rate, drop back passes, or hand the ball off to running backs and 37% conversion rate is mind-boggling to me for an offensive-minded head coach who's career and his livelihood and his ability to like be written in the annals of Green Bay lore, which you guys obviously are one of the most storied franchises in the NFL, is being held back because of these fourth down decisions that he himself, by being the play caller and head coach, is failing on. And so this really comes down to Matt LaFleur himself on these situations. Go for it more, call smarter plays. The Green Bay Packers will score more points. The Green Bay Packers will win more games. It's incumbent upon you this year to make that switch and start executing in that manner.
We'll be right back. I'm glad you brought this up because it's a really interesting topic of conversation. Because if you look back in years past, Matt would be at like top of the league in decision-making when it came to almost anything. Like analytically, he was right up there. And then this past year just got completely gun-shy when it came to going for it, fourth downs, any of that stuff. And you look at the analytical numbers, it was a complete reverse of where he was in the past. And I'm very hopeful and interested that hopefully he switches back in 2025. It feels very much, and just based on what you're saying, like it's almost a prerequisite to becoming a better offense, a better team this upcoming season, just to be a bit more aggressive and a bit more just smart with the calls that they're actually making in those decisions. Warren, I know we got to kind of get you out of here soon, but before I get you out, you have all of these numbers, all this data, all this time, effort, and energy that you put into obviously all 32 teams, but the Green Bay Packers as well. I don't feel like I even could ask the right question to get this out of you other than what is something that when you put this Packers team together that just stood out to you, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. I'll let you go in any direction that you want. The floor is yours. What's one more thing that we should know about the Green Bay Packers?
Well, it's more just a coalescing of my overall thoughts of the Packers. Sure. And that is that you guys overcame so many things, whether that were outside of what you otherwise could have dealt with. In other words, the injury to Jordan Love, the drops by your receivers on third downs, your fourth down terrible decision making in terms of when you go for it, coupled with the play calls that were there for you. If all of that regresses this year, if you get better injury luck, if you're calling plays a little bit more intelligently on fourth down and the receivers aren't dropping the ball as much, and it feels like all of these things aren't unreasonable, right? It feels like all of these things are perfectly reasonable. It's very unlikely that Jordan Love deals with as many injuries as frequently for the first half of the season in 2025. It's very unlikely that these receivers are dropping the ball nearly as much. And the ability of Matt LaFleur to just make a decision, we're going to go for it more this year. Like all you have to do, literally, you just have to walk into the office and tell your staff, we're going to go for it more on fourth down this year. Good. Okay. That's all you really have to do. Like he's the boss. It feels like all of these things are correctable and can be achieved in 2025. The sky's the limit for you guys to win 11, 12, 13 games this year. And I'm not even saying anything outlandish. I think what you guys overcame last year to win 11 games, that could be the floor for this season, in my opinion, if you make some of these changes. Because I do think that you improved along the offensive line. I do think you made some corrections at that wide receiver room and brought in some players that can help you there. Obviously, we know that Christian Watson's not going to be there at the beginning of the season, but I think you're going to be able to work around him. Your coaching staff is smart enough, and you have other players there and pieces there that you can build around that. I'm excited about your tight end room. I think that your defense took massive leaps last season with a new defense coordinator in Halfley. They came in, they reduced the drive length of opponents, they reduced the frequency of drives that reached your red zone, and that reduced the number of points that opponents were scoring. I mean, I really think everything is pointing in the right direction for you guys, and it's possible, in my opinion, for you to, while there's predictions, you know, the Vegas markets expect 9 to 10 wins. The Vegas markets expect you to finish in second place. If the Lions do take that step back, which is a little bit more likely, losing an offensive coordinator like Ben Johnson, boom, the Green Bay Packers are overtaking them. And the Green Bay Packers are back in that position. We know the Minnesota Vikings aren't winning that many games this year. And I still think the Chicago Bears, you got to look out for them. They're going to be a lot better, but I don't know if they're that rocket ship that just overtakes and jumps to where they might get in 2025. And so it's not necessarily like one thing that I can put my finger on. The biggest thing was like people need to be just aware of how brilliant Jordan Love actually played last year with the injuries that he was dealing with. But the bigger things that I think overall for your team, I just think the sky is the limit for you. I think that this is a team that really has a very underrated quarterback, is underrated in general, like league-wide. I don't know, you're in the heart of it, so maybe you guys talk about Green Bay all the time. Outside of like the NFC North discussion, I don't think very many people are actually talking about the Green Bay Packers this season. There's so many other teams with more superstar caliber quarterbacks because they're getting MVP votes or they're making the big splashy plays or they've been healthier around the league, both in the AFC and in the NFC. And quarterbacks tend to drive the discussion of teams that because Love isn't viewed as highly as what his stats are showing. And because your team is dropping some of these games that you otherwise could win, people aren't necessarily scared of you or talking about you, but I think you could definitely be, it's hard to call you a dark horse because you're favored to win 9.5 games like you're expected. I think you're favored, let me double check. I mean, you're favored this year in 13 games.
Yes.
So the Vegas betting markets have favored you in 13 out of your 17 games. Your win total is expected to be right around 9-10, but I absolutely think that you're not getting all of the talk anywhere, and that's a good thing. You don't want all that talk. You don't want to inflate people's egos on the team inside the building. You want to come out like you're the underdog in every single game with something to prove. And that's where if you have that mentality, maybe you do decide to go for it more on fourth down. You know, some of the teams that think we're good, they might sit back and not be as aggressive on fourth down. We got this. Our defense can stop them. We don't need this. Let's just kick the field goal. Let's just punt the ball, play field position, what have you. If you get more aggressive on those spots with something to prove and a chip on your shoulder, you got to go out there, win those first two home games. I mean, they're big games. The Detroit Lions, the Washington Commanders, go out there, win those two games. You have a big edge on that Thursday night football game against the Washington Commanders because it's at home in Green Bay. You don't have to travel. Then you got 3 days rest edge as you head into your next week's game against the Cleveland Browns that you should beat. I mean, who knows how great a start would be if you go 3-0 in those games, you go down to Dallas and you can win that game on Sunday Night Football and you enter your bye 4-0. I mean, that's exactly what this team should be shooting for. And I don't think that it's unreasonable at all if you play as aggressively as you need to. And keep in mind, those first two games, the Detroit Lions, the Washington Commanders, two teams that go for it a lot on fourth down, two teams that are good at converting on fourth down. So you guys better start that season thinking, we're going to go for it a lot in these games against those teams, and we're going to call our very best plays. We're not going to call running back draws on fourth and one. We're going to be calling some sneaks and some other creative things that can help us convert these fourth downs. You do that against those teams, you give yourself a shot to start out the season 4-0.
Warren, sign me the hell up for everything that you just said. This is the perfect way to, I think, get everyone amped up for Packers football right before the start of training camp. This was absolutely incredible. You're absolutely amazing what you do. Tell us again all about the guide, where we can find you on social media, and anything else you want to plug on the way out.
Yeah, just grab the guide. I mean, you're not going to get better bang for your buck. It's $1 using the code Packers. If you just go over to sharp.football, it'll redirect you to the page. It's $29.99. Punch in Packers. You'll get it for just $1. It's a PDF version of this very same book. Get prepared for the upcoming season. Have it as a resource. Learn about a little bit more about your team. We covered a lot here, but learn about the other 31 teams. Some of the things I think about the Chicago Bears or the Detroit Lions or the Minnesota Vikings you guys face in 6 year games this year. So thanks for having me. Just go check out the guide and good luck this year. I'm really pulling for teams like yourselves, even though I try not to root for anybody specifically, because I feel like I'm big on coaching, and I feel like coaching matters so much more than a lot of people believe. I feel like there's just a couple of small tweaks that your staff can make to really get this team over the hill. And I hope that they make those, because I'm excited to see the ceiling of you guys in 2025.
I certainly hope they make them, as well as I'm sure Packer fans do as well. Again, go follow him at Sharp Football. Get the guide, $1. Again, using code Packers. We appreciate it. Hopefully we can do this again sometime in the future. We will talk to you again, I'm sure, sometime down the line. That's going to do it for us today right here on the Packaday Podcast. Follow him at Sharp Football, me at Andy Herman NFL. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.